Twice over in the passage, both back at the beginning of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and the verse 1, we read, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." And then again in verse 16, "For which cause we faint not." Now in each case, we read the phrase, "we faint not." But that phrase, along with the fact that it's repeated twice to give it emphasis, raises the possibility of fainting. Now, many of you will know my profession. It's been announced already that I'm a doctor, I'm a GP. And many people come to me because of fainting or near fainting, or as they call it in my part of the world, a wee dwam. Maybe you've heard that word up here as well. But people come with those faints or near faints. And of course, there are lots and lots of different causes of faints or near faints. It could be physical illness, and the list's lengthy. It could be strong emotion. It could be physical pain. There's so many things. It could be anemia. So many causes of fainting. And the physician's job is to try and sift through those multiple causes of a faint and try and make a diagnosis. That's what we're going to try and do as we look through this passage today. We're going to try and diagnose the cause of this possible fainting. Now, we all faint. Maybe some of you are strong or pride yourselves in being strong and maybe haven't fainted, but there will come a time when you'll faint or have a near faint. Let me tell you about the first time I fainted. First time that I remember anyhow. I was in primary one at school. Dromara Primary School, foothills of the Mourns, and I was in craft, and I was cutting with a sharp knife balsa wood. I don't think kids use balsa wood anymore. Esther's smiling. I'm not sure if that means they do or they don't, but I've not seen balsa wood or heard my kids talk about balsa wood, although they're well past that stage. But in my time, you used balsa wood, the light wood that you were able to cut with a craft knife. And it wasn't so much the cut to my finger and the blood that appeared, but it was the suddenness with which the teacher grabbed hold of me and took me over to the sink and ran my finger under the tap. That was too much, and I fainted. Now, there's other times in my life when I fainted. And one of the other times, now I can go into a whole list here because I faint often, but I'll only tell you about one more. And that's when I went to give blood. I'm beginning to sound like the doctor and Doc Martin on TV now at the sight of blood that I faint every time. Well, it's not quite that bad, but certainly I've given blood 3 times, okay, in my life, blood transfusion. And some of you will say, well, shame on you. If you're in the medical profession, you should know to give blood more often. And maybe some of you have got your 25 or your 50 badge with the blood transfusion service for giving blood very often. Now, there was a big gap between time 2 and time 3. And the reason for that was time 2, giving blood, I felt faint. Didn't actually physically faint, but really felt quite faint. And then about 10 years ago, after a lengthy time, my staff at work cajoled me and browbeat me and told me how bad a person I was that I didn't give blood and I really should go and get over it and go and give blood, which I did. To our local hospital, Lagan Valley. And all started well. The bag was filling up nicely. But my arm with the tourniquet started to feel a bit uncomfortable and a bit sore. And I started to feel a wee bit of a cold sweat coming on. So you can imagine my relief when it was all finished and I was ushered over to the table to get a cup of tea. Oh, well, actually, no cup of tea, because you only get a cup of tea, apparently, if you've given blood recently. So I was given a cold glass of water, and that just didn't do it. And as I sat, I thought, now, am I going to make a scene here and faint and have a whole crowd round me? Or am I going to take the lesser route and say to the staff, can I just go and have another wee lie down on that couch over there? Which I thought was safer, and I did. So I said to them, can I go and have a wee lie down on that couch over there? And they agreed, but of course that started the fuss, didn't it? And me being local to Lagan Valley, had patients passing me by saying, "Hello, Dr. Campbell." And I'm thinking, "Go away. I don't want to see you." And I was quite embarrassed. But I lay for a while. And eventually the doctor who was conducting the whole affair came over and said to me, "Has this ever happened to you before?" And I said, "Well, yes, it did about 10 years ago when I gave blood last time." He says, he's a Scottish guy, he says, "Well, wait, I tell you, Doc," he says, "don't come back again. It's going to happen to you again." And I was so pleased, so pleased. And I haven't been back again, and I'm using that for my forever excuse. Now, I tell you that for humour, but of course, that's physical fainting. And we've thought of the many possibilities that we could faint. But, of course, we're looking at spiritual fainting here. And that's what Paul deals with in this passage. And it's all too possible. And it's very common for God's people to faint. Because we're weak spiritually. We're maybe weakened because of enemies within, in our mind, within our body. And enemies without, who weaken us in the faith and cause us to not have that resilience that we should have, and we're caused to faint. Many references to fainting in the Bible. Let me pick out a couple just to give you the sense of where we read about fainting in the Bible. And we'll take them from the book of Psalms. Not the one we were singing. We'll come back to that a little later. But look with me at Psalm 27. These are just a couple of passages in the Psalms which tell us about fainting and point out the reality of fainting in our lives. Now, the psalmist here is David, and he writes of a time in his life when he fainted. Verses 11 through to 14. Psalm is a psalm of David. "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Maybe some of you are like that, that you had fainted, that you had come to that point in your life when you felt, "I'm fainting here. I need fresh strength. I need fresh hope. I need fresh courage." Well, the psalmist felt like that, and he prayed to the Lord, and except that he saw the Lord's mercy upon those round about him, and upon the Lord's mercy upon those who trusted in God, then he too would have fainted. And he commands us, tells us, to wait on the Lord, and to be of good courage, and to know that strengthening of our hearts that comes from the Lord. And another psalm, over in Psalm 84, we have words here. We don't know who the psalmist is here, actually. We have an idea. It's not David, we don't think. But the psalmist here writes in Psalm 84, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of my Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God." The psalmist was longing for the day when he would be able to get back to the courts, to the house of God. Maybe you've not been in that position. Maybe you have. Some laid aside in beds of sickness have that longing, that yearning in their hearts to be back amongst God's people. And how privileged we are to have the strength and the ability to be able to come up to the house of God and meet together to worship him. But some, out of fainting and feeling a sense of weakness in the body, have fainted, except they had been able to see the goodness of God, Psalm 27, and they had fainted for the courts they had longed so much for, to be able to meet with God's people in God's house. Now, that's the reality of fainting. And while the passage talks about we faint not, we're going to see as we go through this morning reasons both for fainting and then also remedies for that fainting, so that we too can say we faint not. What about reasons for fainting in the second place? We've looked at the reality of fainting. from the text, for which cause we faint not. What about reasons? Look back at the text there, for it says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish. We're given some sense here in this second clause as to the reasons for fainting. In fact, the whole passage, as we look down through it, gives us many reasons why Christians faint. And we're going to look down through the whole chapter and take from it, from the context, reasons that we would suggest that people faint spiritually. In the first place, I want you to see in verses 3 through to 6, Satan's attacks. Of course, that's a very possible reason why we faint. Because Satan is our arch enemy. He's against the souls of men, and he's out there to try and cause us to trip, to try and cause us to be weak, to try and cause us to faint. Look at those verses 3 through 6, chapter 4, 2 Corinthians. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, that's Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. The God of this world, Satan himself, keeps men in darkness. He's fearful of light. He runs from the light, and he causes those whom he controls to run from that light. And he keeps them forever in eternal darkness. And if they don't repent of their sin and turn to the one who is the light of God, the expressed image of God, and run to him for salvation, then they too will be kept in eternal darkness with the devil and his angel for all eternity. So the devil has purposed to keep us in darkness. Yet the Lord has shone forth a light into this world. John tells us that he is the light of men and the light of life in John chapter 1. And he has shone into our hearts and he casts out all darkness. And those of us who know and love the Saviour have received that light. And so the battle between darkness and light, between death and life, rages in this world. And we pray that those who uphold the name of Christ, as Paul upheld the name of Christ, will help shed forth that light into men's hearts. The devil wants men to faint with fear, faint with their inability to change their own circumstances, faint in their minds. Oh, he brings fear and fainting all right. In the second instance, why do men faint? Causes for fainting spiritually. We see in verse 7 our own weakness. And we are weak. We were singing about that in the hymn that was written there by William Cooper. In our weakness, in our desperate weakness, we come to Christ for strength. But we are weak. Look at verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of God, not of us. Now, what is this treasure that we have in earthen vessels? Well, the treasure is what we read in the verses that go before. It's the treasure of having the light of the world, the light of men's hearts within our own heart. It's the light of the knowledge of the glory of God and the face of Jesus Christ within us. That's our treasure. And that treasure is great treasure. It's of great worth. It's of greater value than gold. And yet we're weak because we're earthen. Even though we have great treasure within us, we are weak. We're human. We're earthen. And for this reason, we faint and we fall and we fail. Now, Paul's not unaccustomed with this thought in his own life, for he was often weak. Consider his many beatings, his scourgings, his shipwrecks, his being left for dead often. And yet, he who knew this great weakness was able to show forth the excellency of the power of God. And likewise, those of us who know and love the Saviour are able to show forth the excellency of Christ even through our weakness. Same epistle, just a little later on, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and there in verse 9, we read these words. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, very familiar words to most. And he said unto me, my grace, this is when Paul was buffeted by the thorn in his flesh. Satan had come to buffet him, to show him just how weak he was. And he says in verse 9, and he said unto me, this is Christ, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And you know, this is a biblical principle. If we are made to feel our weakness, our insufficiency, our lowliness, our earthenness, then more and more the strength of God can be shown and displayed through us. Our weakness, as this verse shows, is a perfect platform for God's grace to shine forth. And that's a biblical principle, is it not? Some of you will have read the works of some of the Puritans. And they had a great sense of the greatness of God in their writings. And one of them writes this. He writes that if we are to fully understand Christ and what he has done for us, then our view of ourselves needs to be extended, but extended downwards. That we need to see ourselves more base, more earthen than we see ourselves now. And our view of Christ needs to be extended upwards, that we need to see him more glorious in his person, more wondrous in his work, more able to deliver us as we consider him. And if we have those views extended, ourselves downwards and Christ upwards, then we will have a fuller and greater appreciation of the salvation that we have been called to. I think of John the Baptist. John the Baptist had that view in his life. He came to be the forerunner of Christ. He came and he said of Christ that the latchets on his shoes he was unfit to tie. And yet he was a great man, coming to herald the coming day when the king would come. What was his motto in his life? Well, turn this up with me, because I think this is a motto that we could write across our lives, and certainly John the Baptist wrote across his life. John chapter 3, and it's the verse 30. John chapter 3, verse 30. Here's John's motto for life. And it mightn't be a bad motto for you, Christian, to take up in your life. I think we would make more of Christ if we had this for our motto. John said, he, that is Christ, must increase, but I must decrease. Of course, he spoke of his ministry, where his ministry would peter out and he would come to that end that we know of. Whereas Christ's ministry was on the increase and on the incline. But what a motto for life, that we would decrease and that Christ would increase through his word and through the display of his glory and grace in our lives. So we're faint because of the devil's attack. We're faint because of our own weakness. Then let's look at a few other reasons for fainting. Back to our passage, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8 this time, and we have a list here. And the first in that list is, we are troubled. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Show me the man that doesn't have trouble. Show me the woman that doesn't have trouble in this life. Show me a Christian who hasn't faced trouble. Didn't Job write that in his book? Job, that patriarch who lived way before Moses, way before the law, he had great insight into God's word and God's dealings with men. And he wrote, did he not, that man is born unto trouble, as sure as the sparks that fly upwards. Man is born unto trouble. So you and I, friend, today, we're born unto trouble. And if you haven't faced it yet, then you're either so young that it's not come your way, or you're deluding yourself, because troubles do come. And yet how wonderful it is here, even just in those words that we've read, to see that it's tempered. It's tempered by the words, yet not. And we reread that as a recurrent theme through these verses. Yes, we're troubled, yet not distressed. We read at the start that we faint, but we faint not. All of these statements, all of these reasons for fainting are tempered. And we're glad of the yet nots here and the but nots. We'll see one of those in a moment that we see in the scriptures. How wonderful to see that and to see that we're not distressed. Okay, troubles are without and within. They're on every side. Paul writes of that in chapter 7, verse 5, same book, chapter 7, verse 5. We read these words. I hope I've got this right. I think I have. Yes, for when we came, when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Here's Paul being honest, telling of the troubles that he faced. And he said, we're troubled on every side. And not only on every side, but not only had we troubles outside, but we had troubles within because we faced our own fears. Those are the fears, the troubles that we face also in this life. And yet, we're not distressed. We're going to sing at the end this hymn. O soul, are you weary and troubled? There's no light in the darkness that you can see. There's light for a look at the Saviour. And there's life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. The Saviour himself says to us that we're not to be troubled. John 14, that great passage where we read those words of the Saviour, both at the beginning of the chapter and then again at the end of the chapter. Twice over, we have the words that we're not to be troubled. And this is from the Master's lips himself. I'll take the last one first, verse 27 of John 14. We read these words, peace, peace I leave with you. Isn't that the exact opposite of trouble? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. And we can stop there because the world promises peace. Much peace. Peace agreements. Peace truces. Peace treaties. And yet there's no peace like this peace. Because the peace that we see here in God's worst word is a peace that God alone ministers through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's his peace, and it's given to his people, to his children. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The antidote to trouble in your life, Christian, is the peace that God gives. And then at the beginning of John chapter 14, very familiar words, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And on down through that passage, which many of you will have learnt in Sabbath school, there is much comfort for the believer in knowing what God has done. And on that account, we're not to be troubled. What else do we see in these verses back with our chapter? So we've seen that we are weak, that we're earthen, that the devil attacks us, and these are causes for our fainting. We're troubled, yet we're not distressed. Then we have verse 8, we are perplexed, but not in despair. Perplexity. Now, there's a word I had to look up to be sure that I knew exactly what it meant here in this context. And the alternative renderings to perplexity is confusion, or muddling, or being flummoxed. Found that word in the dictionary. Thought it was a good word. I like that word. Sounds like an Ulster word. We're flummoxed, or to use a King James Version word that's peculiar to this book, we're at our wit's end corner. We read about our wit's end in the King James Version of the Bible. Is that how some of you feel today? Perhaps you're perplexed, not sure which way to turn, not sure what to do in life. Difficulties, problems, troubles are assailing you. To whom do you run? Where do you seek out help? Well, comfortingly, we have another yet not here in this verse. Because we're perplexed, we're troubled, we're flummoxed, yet we're not in despair. Or if you have a margin in your Bible there, you will read that we're not without help, or we're not without means, pointing to one who will help, one who can help, one who has the means to help us when we're perplexed. No, we're not in despair, for we have one who has the means and the ability to help us and to be our help. Another one. We faint not. Verse 9 this time. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. Some of you may feel persecuted. Although I guess when we think of this term, we think of those in foreign lands who are persecuted for their faith, who have to meet, not as we do today openly, but they have to meet in secret for fear of persecution. We are so thankful for the religious liberty that we have, a liberty that was bought by our forefathers, sometimes through their own blood, through great fightings, and yet they stood up for truth and for God's word against the odds, even at personal sacrifice. They were persecuted, and yet they did it, knowing that they were not forsaken, for the one who has promised to be with them and to be closer than any brother was their help in times of trouble. And then there's another, cast down but not destroyed. Another cause why we faint, and we faint often, is that we're oftentimes cast down. Now this phrase occurs many, many times in the Bible, and it refers to our spirits being cast down, being cast low, being brought low. And this equates with a more modern day word, the word depression. When the King James Version of the Bible was written, the word depression was not in common usage. It wasn't in common parlance. So try as you will, and you look through this book, you will not find the word depression. So we have to look for similar words, words that have the same meaning as depression. And that's exactly what this word, or these words, cast down, means. We sang from Psalm 42 this morning, because if you want a psalm, and the psalms are wonderful comforts to God's people in times of trouble, if you want a psalm, or rather two psalms, that speak about depression and give hope for those who are depressed, then surely that has to be Psalms 42 and 43. Actually, turn back with me, if you would, just to those psalms. Psalm 42 and 43, they go together, actually, in the original, they're probably one psalm. I say that for a couple of reasons. First of all, Psalm 42 has a title, and these titles in the Psalms are part of the scripture narrative, part of the scripture portion. So Psalm 42 has a title, and all the other Psalms in this section, right up to Psalm 72, all have titles, but Psalm 43 doesn't. You will also see, if you look at verse 5 in Psalm 43, that it looks very like verse 11 in Psalm 42, and it looks very like Psalm 5 in verse 5 in Psalm 42. So three times over we have the same sentiment expressed, repeated. And that's like depression. People mull over the same thing time and time and time again, and seemingly get no relief from their feelings of being low and brought low. Look at verse 5 of Psalm 42, and we sang these words, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why am I depressed, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted or disgruntled or agitated within me?" And then the answer, "Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him for the help of his countenance." Verse 11, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." Verse 5, Psalm 43. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." Study through the psalm. There's great helps here in these psalms for those who are cast down or depressed. I need to watch my time. Depression is a destructive force in any believer's life, and it can often lead us to be destroyed or finished. I spoke of William Cooper earlier, who was one who was cast down, who felt destroyed, and brought to that point in his life where he would have taken his own life, where his life would literally have been destroyed. And yet, in our passage, we have that "but not destroyed." We have that hope that, yes, we have all of these reasons for our weakness and our fainting, but there's a caveat given, a "yet not," a "but not." Now finally, and I need to move quickly, let's look in the third place at the remedy for our depression. So we've seen from the text that there is a reality of fainting, for which cause we faint not, entertaining the thought that fainting can happen. We have looked at reasons for fainting, and we've looked through the passage and seen some of those reasons under the subtext, "but though our outward man perish." But then finally, let's look at some remedy for our fainting, oft-time fainting. And the third clause there in the text, "yet the inward man is renewed day by day." This gives us some reason for hope. And we faint not because of things that are mentioned to us here throughout the passage, which are hopes, which are helps, which are comforts to those who would often faint. Now this is a spiritual work that's done within our hearts. And we read there in the text that we are renewed in our inward man day by day. This thought of being renewed is a theme that Paul often speaks of. You will know in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 we talk about being new creatures in Christ. We are given a new spirit, a new heart, a new beginning when we come to Christ by faith. And then that new man is renewed by the Spirit day by day as we look at God's word. And let me just pick out a few things in the passage which tell us how we can be renewed in our spirits. Paul speaks of this renewal elsewhere. Some of you will know, and I'm not turning these up for time, but Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, that we are transformed into the renewing of our minds, transformed by the image of Christ, that we are renewed in our minds and our spirits through God. Okay, and the first reason that we're given to hope and to have our minds renewed and our hearts renewed and the inner man renewed is that of faith. And we read of that in verse 13. "For we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak." Paul quotes David from the Psalms, Psalm 116 in this instance, and he tells us that David, in the midst of his troubles, had faith, and his faith was so great that he could then go on to say, well, I had faith, and therefore I speak. And Paul says, I have faith, we have faith, and therefore we speak. Christian, that's what we need in a life that's full of trouble and difficulty and depression and all of these other things that are against us. We need greater faith. Faith that will enable us to claim the yet nots, the but nots of the passage that we've seen. Faith that will be able to say, okay, I'm weak, but I'm not distressed. I'm not in despair. I'm not destroyed. I've got faith to believe in the one who is able to see me through these present difficulties. Verse 14, we have another reason for our ability to be able to remedy our oftentimes fainting. Verse 14, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. We have the hope of the resurrection. Man, that's something that should encourage us to keep going. That one day, even though death itself, and we didn't cover that for time's sake in the passage, death itself will take all of us if Christ tarries, even though that is our natural end, we have one day will be resurrected with Christ and raised with him into the heavenlies to be with him on that right hand of the Father. And so we have the glorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that hope that lies within us as something which helps us to strengthen our inward man. Verse 15, another reason why we faint not here. Verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. I wonder if you thought of that. When you meet together in public fashion like this, and maybe on those occasions when you hear testimonies, and I'm going to give you my testimony tonight, you're encouraged when you hear and you see how the grace of God has helped an individual in their life, in their difficulty. And in being encouraged amongst God's people, we are helped in our own walk, and we're helped to face the troubles and the difficulties that we have. We are helped from fainting by seeing God's grace shed abroad in the hearts and lives of others. And that's the sentiment of verse 15, that we come together in thanksgiving. And that thanksgiving is to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has helped us in our difficulties. So how wonderful it is to share with each other and to help each other grow in grace by showing to each other just how the Lord has helped us through our difficulties and our problems. And then verse 17, another reason why we ought not to faint. Another reason why the inner man is to be renewed and we are to help face those oft times fainting in our lives. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Sense, humanity, my heart tells me that my difficulties, my problems are big. They're lengthy. They're heavy. And yet the passage here is telling us that they're not. They're short-lived. They're but for a moment. They're not heavy. They're light. They're not prolonged. They're shortened. Why? Well, because when I consider the greatness, the great weight of the glory that I shall experience when I'm spending all eternity with my Saviour and Lord, when I get the perspective of eternity before me, then the difficulties that I face in this life, they are just a light affliction, and they are but for a moment compared to the exceeding eternal weight of glory. And then our text emphasizes the continuing action that's required in verse 18. For it says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. It's as if there's a condition to this remedy. for our fainting. We're not to faint by having more faith, by looking to the hope of the glorious resurrection, by getting our lives into perspective and seeing our present difficulties as short-lived and temporary and light, while we look at the things which are not seen. You see, this is a continual action, a continual process. And we know that the process of sanctification, friend, is a continual thing. We need to keep on looking on to Jesus, the one who is the author and finisher of our faith. That's something that takes godly discipline in our lives. Our text puts it this way, that we are renewed day by day. It's not a renewal, that's a once-off act, where we can say, well, yes, I had my spirit renewed at such and such a time in my life, and I'm without doubts and fears and without weakness because I'm living in victory. We know that doesn't happen. We know that each and every day we need to come for that continual renewing at God's hand. I've gone down through this passage, and I've used our text as a means to pick out from the passage causes for our fainting, reasons for our fainting, and also remedies for our fainting. And of course, this is written very much in Paul's way of writing, the Pauline example here, for he's a very logical thinker and writer, and he shows us that there is the possibility of fainting, and he goes through the various causes of fainting, and then he gives us these remedies for fainting. But lest you think that this is just something that Paul speaks of, I want to finish by looking at Isaiah chapter 40. And I am finishing up here because I'm conscious that my time's gone. Isaiah chapter 40. Familiar words, and some of you will know these words off by heart. Isaiah 40 begins with the words, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Handel's Messiah, some of you will know. I'm going to hear it week after next. Haven't been for a long time, but what a masterpiece that is, musically. And the words, they're a great blessing actually to think of the words that are used by Handel in his piece, The Messiah. And this is one of them, comfort ye my people. I suppose the best one, best known part is, I know that my Redeemer liveth. But it's a blessing. If you've not ever listened to Handel's Messiah, you should do so, because there's great words contained. But let's look at the end of the chapter, and this is where we'll finish. We read from verses 28 through to 31. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But, and thank God for the buts in his word, we're going to see another one tonight, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, that daily renewing that we've been speaking about. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We need to renew our minds and our inner man each and every day if we're going to face our oft-time fainting. I trust that God's word has been a help to you today.